Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. Paul said in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In today's message, Pastor Joel continues the teaching series entitled, On the Battlefield.
You'll recall that our focus was and is on warfare. We looked at the history of the human race and we found that we're some fighting folks. We've been warring ever since the fall of man, basically. Okay, we've been fighting battles, physical warfare, and it remains a part of our existence today. There's fighting all over the world, as you know. And whether we care to admit it or not, this physical fighting, which we as humans find ourselves engaged in, it exists not so much from enemies which we can see, but enemies which we cannot see. That's what we need to take into account. After all, as Sister Doris said in our memory verse, or Sister Elwanda, rather, in our memory verse, Ephesians 6:12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that scripture spells it out. It's telling us that there are real demons out there, real evil forces, fallen angels, which control much of the atmosphere, all right? They're out there, and they're out there destroying human beings. That's their assignment. They're good at it, you all, okay? They can destroy you by possessing you. They can destroy you by oppressing you. Depends on where you are in your faith, all right? We know that Christians, can we be possessed if you know Christ with the Holy Spirit living in you? You sure? Better know it. Better know it. It's all or nothing at all. No halfway with Jesus. Holy Spirit is in you. You better believe it. You're covered. All right? All right? But if you're not, then devils and demons or whatever you want to call them, they can oppress you. I was running about a week ago on the treadmill. And I have a habit of just keeping my eyes open to things these days. And I was on treadmill, and I saw a guy walking in the gym area. Wasn't right. Now, he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he just wasn't right. Okay? And I knew it. And, you know, most times when I say something about somebody and say, you know what, the Lord's telling me I'm getting this feeling, at least I say, oh, you just paranoid. You've been in police work too long. But, you know, when you got a good gift, God ain't going to take it away. He uses it for his glory, too. So I didn't say anything. I just sort of tucked it away. And so about a week later, I was sitting in a parking lot, just happened to be waiting for my wife, and I heard a whole bunch of yelling, like somebody really fighting someone else, arguing. And it was right in the middle of downtown, and you could hear it ricocheting off the buildings. And I said, who is that? That doesn't sound right. And I looked, and guess who it was? That man. The same one who was normal. But I'm telling you, God will give you the discernment. Obviously, he's afflicted. Obviously, he's got something in him. And I have to say that it starts in the spirit. Okay? And so he's got some issues. And he was yelling and screaming as if he was fighting someone. It was the same man. He's in a battle. He may not know it, but he's in a battle, okay? And we're all battling something, okay? Because these invisible assassins will affect you one way or the other, okay? And like I said last week, you can't get out of it because you know Jesus. You're still battling. You're still in a battle. Paul was in a battle, wasn't he? Paul said, things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. Who's going to help me? He said it. Not like that, but that's what he was saying, didn't he? And don't we say that, Lord, help us, okay? But think of the people that don't know the Lord. They're like ducks in a duck pond for devils, okay, for demons. So these demons can affect you in all kinds of ways. They can whisper in your ear. They can cajole you. They can surreptitiously get you to do the things that you shouldn't do, okay? And just as I said last week, when it comes to physical warfare, though, man is in perpetual motion, all right? I said it's the coffee shop effect, right? Something's always percolating. It's always in order that's evil, okay? And we have to recognize that. It's daily conflict. In the military units, even in your home family unit, you will no doubt discover fighting. Families cannot get along. Most of the wars that are fought are through relatives, aren't they? Even the mob was fighting against each other, weren't they? It's always that way in San Francisco, Big Block, and other blocks. In Chicago, when I was growing up, the Blackstone Rangers and the Gangster Disciples, all relatives living on the other side of town. What's wrong with us? You see, those are demons. Got to fight somebody. When I did police work, sadly, most of the murders, most of the calls we got and found a body on the ground, it was a relative that killed another relative, a friend who crossed his buddy. Very seldom you get just strangers. Well, nowadays you do. But before then, very seldom you get just strangers messing with people. It's usually right there because devils and demons come into your family structure to take you out. They will use you against each other. Right? And you know the devil ain't nothing but a counterfeiter. Jesus said, I come to turn father against son and mother against daughter. But he didn't mean it like that. Here come the devil. I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to make him do it. You see what I mean? So we have to understand that this is a spiritual warfare with spiritual skirmishes going on all over the place. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. These natural or physical battles all begin in the spirit. All right? Just as Ephesians 6 tells us, and that means that each and every one of us human beings is engaged in a battle. Nobody is immune to it, okay? We're all involved in spiritual warfare because why? We're all born into sin. That's the way it is. Wish it could be another way. You see all these pretty little babies born? Oh, ain't she cute? I'm having a baby. Mm-hmm. I'm having twins, triplets, God help you. Pray for them. Because as soon as they're born, sweet little things are born into sin. It's on them, y'all. It's on them. Can't do a thing about that. That's the thing. Why do you think we have to cling to Jesus? Who can help us through that? Little innocent babies being born into a world of sin, and it's on them. So it affects us one way or the other. And so as a result, we're all on this spiritual battlefield. Remember in Job 5:7, I quoted that, man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. You ever seen embers from a cozy fire? They just kind of, they never stop. Troubles never stop in this world. Uh-huh. That's what Paul said. You got to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12-14, he says that, I'm pressing, I'm trying to get there. Because it's a struggle, it's not going to be easy, all right? The battle, there's a true battle going on, and it's difficult to fight an enemy which you can't see. So obviously, we as humans are at a distinct disadvantage. We're at a disadvantage, so what do we do? Well, last week we talked about it. I said we were going to look at this in three different criteria. The first one was we're going to look at the plight of human beings who do not know Jesus. And that was harrowing last week, to see what the devil can do to you when you don't know Jesus, when you don't even know you're being possessed, when you don't even know that devil is riding your back, when you don't even know it. You think you got it good. You got all the money. You got all the fame. You got all the fortune. And you're nothing but a puppet being locked down if you don't know Jesus. We looked at all that last week, how these demonic forces, these legions of demons, all right? Without Christ, you're toast. You're cooked. You're done without Christ. That's just the way it is. I've got friends, very intelligent men, learned, musicians, artists, athletes. They believe in all kinds of stuff. They believe in a higher power. They believe in carrying on their own destiny. They believe in their best lives now. If this is the best life for you, what happens in eternity? You got to serve somebody. You can't serve money. You can't serve a deity. Who are you going to serve? And they really believe in that, and they're good people, but they believe that they can chart their own way in this world. And you can't. We're in a maze. You need somebody to get you through that maze. And Jesus is the only one. So without Christ, we're done. But again, I'm not going to go back to rehash all that was said last week, because we've got to get on part two. But just let me say that these demons are just too wily and supernatural for us to contest them. We don't have a chance. You don't have a chance against a demon. You do know that, right? Without Jesus, you don't have a chance against a demon. All right, let's put it like that. If you saw one, you'd probably fall out. Without Jesus, you don't have a chance, all right? Let's go to some good news. Let's move on to part two in our second category of on the battlefield, and look at what it means to be on the battlefield in Christ Jesus. Let's go to our Bibles. And I had the pleasure of having Minister Dora up here with me today. She's going to help us out. And thank you, Minister Dora. Can you take us to 1 John 3, verses 8 and 9, and please read that for us, please?
1 John 3, verses 8 and 9. 8. He who sins is of the devil. Mm-hmm. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Oh, amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Verse 9. Mm-hmm. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and mm-hmm. he cannot sin because he has been born of God.
Amen. Amen. I get carried away. I was looking at verse 8, and that was sounding so good to me. I just thank you, Minister Dora. I didn't mean to cut you off. So we see in this scripture that the devil is a supernatural being. He's a supernatural sinner. Mm-hmm. You thought you was bad. A supernatural sinner, basically, because as the word says, he sinned from the very beginning. He was here in the beginning, long time ago, and he's been sinning from the very beginning. So the devil has been around for thousands of years. How many of you know that's a real long time? Thousands of years. And so he's had eons of time to work on his craft. And he's had more than enough time of getting to know us and our proclivities, what we like and what we don't like, okay? Naturally, then, the devil knows how to tempt us to sin, all right? So remember now, Satan and his demons are invisible, and they know us better than we think they do, all right? So therefore, they whisper in our ears. They even shout. Can you tell when the devil's shouting at you? Can you tell when a demon is shouting at you? Think about it. They do shout. Lord told me one day, he said, do you know that when you're preaching, the demons are shouting to people, don't listen to him. Go home. The game's on. Third quarter. I never thought of it that way. He said they're shouting in the ears of people. He said, that's why you got to preach this word. You got to continue to bathe in this word, because the devil's going to try to get you to listen to something else. He's going to try to get you to fall asleep. And I don't want to put anybody on Front Street, because I said I would fall asleep most times if I'm not pastoring. Maybe that's one of the reasons I'm a pastor, is because I sleep very easy. I'm a relaxed person because of all the violence I've seen. So when things are relaxed, I really calm. My heart rate beats at 55 beats a minute. And, you know, even when there's danger, it doesn't speed up much. So it's very easy for me to become relaxed. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that the devil will take you to another place and you won't even know you're being affected by him. That's the way he is. I said that anytime you can't sleep, read the Bible and see. You don't need to take any Somanex. Take Somanex tonight and sleep. Safe and restful sleep. No, just read the Bible and you'll go to sleep, because those demons will tell you, go to sleep. Don't be reading that thing and you'll be asleep. So the devil knows us better than we know ourselves in a lot of cases, or better than we think we know ourselves. But again, Jesus is aware of all of this. And this scripture says that Jesus was manifested so that he could destroy the works of the devil. That's the only reason Jesus came in the flesh, you all. He said, I'm going to tear this thing down. He said, No, this has got to go. This is not going to work. And he knew it before the foundation of the world. So he was already prepared to come into this thing and destroy the works of the devil. This is important, all right? That's why Jesus came in the flesh of man, suffered and died on the cross, all right? So that we as humans could be freed from the bondage of sin. Whatever sin you're in, Jesus came so that you wouldn't have to be locked down in it. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care. Illness, immorality, anger, rage, aloneness. You just don't want to be with nobody. Jesus came to fix all that. You don't lack nobody. Don't need nobody. Jesus came to put you with somebody. Right? I'll tell you, I was a loner. Still sometimes I look to the hills. But I know that Jesus made a way for me, okay? He made a way for me. There are no lone rangers around here. That's why he says we want you in one accord. Fit all y'all in the same car. So that we as human beings could be freed from the bondage of sin. Y'all didn't get it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Mr. Dora, please.
2 Corinthians 5:21. Mm-hmm. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Thank you, Dora. So we see just from this verse, it lines, you see how it lines up with 1 John 3:8? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 John 3:8 told us that. For this reason, because the devil sinned, that the Jesus, for this reason, that he came and manifested himself to destroy the works of the devil, all right? So who is that? Brother Terry was just saying how the Bible speaks these words to you over and over again in a different way, and that's what it's saying here. Jesus was manifested in order to destroy the works of the devil by coming to the earth, enduring affliction, and ultimately going to the cross and dying. Jesus caused us to be able to resist the devil and gain the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. And the book of Romans tells us that just as he died and was raised from the dead in Romans 6:4, it says that so he died and was raised, just as Jesus died and was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be raised in the newness of life. That's a spiritual newness. That's a newness that's in you. You may not look like, you may look the same on the outside at all, but if they look closer, you're going to look different. There's going to be some different things about you, some different attributes, some different mannerisms, the things that you used to do. You're not going to be able to do it anymore, not like you used to. And as you grow in Christ, you'll find that the things that were important to you years ago have become strangely dim. They just don't have the same effect. They just don't have the same importance in you. And that's what we're talking about here. Jesus did that, went to the cross so that we could be changed in the righteousness of life, the righteousness of God in us, to be able to resist the ploys and the snares of the devil. We can't afford to stay the same. You see, here's something that many unsaved people don't know. By dying on the cross, our sin debt as human beings was paid. Jesus paid the price. Okay? You get a free start. It's like amnesty. You got a get out of jail free card. You don't have to pay that bill. You ever had a bill that you had to pay and you didn't have the money? Agonize and agonize over it. We can all raise our hands, right? You put it back and you put it back and it just keep looking at you, dun, 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 like a shark coming at you. Then somehow you find out that you had an overage somewhere and they say, you know, that bill has been wiped out. That ever happened? Seldom, yes. I knew we were going to get some honest people. But it's a good thought. Well, it has happened a couple of times here or there where you had some money coming in and you didn't know it, and somebody owed you something, or you gave away your last, and then before you know it, somebody says, hey, I just want to bless you with this. That things like that happen. Well, it's the same thing. That's what happened when Jesus came and did what the scripture that Sister Minister Dora just told us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus comes, and we can become the righteousness of God in him because he paid off our debt. Man, it's good to be debt free. It's good. That's why I don't carry no credit cards. Mm-mm. Not a one, buddy. Proud to say it. Mm-hmm. Hack all you want to. Got no credit card. Mm-mm. So, Jesus, dying on the cross. Our sin debt was paid. Jesus mentions in John 12:32, he says, if I be lifted up from this earth, I will draw all men unto me. All right? And I must say that there are so many people who think they know what Jesus is about, but sadly they don't. They think Jesus was just a good man. A lot of people in different religions will admit that he was a good man. They'll give him that. Okay, he's a good man. Oh, I think he was a good prophet. Mm-hmm. They think he was a good man. They think he was just a good prophet. Some people think he was just blessed enough to do some good miracles. Mm-hmm. Some good works. See, people attempt to lessen the character and the abilities of Jesus. That's what they do. And they do that in an effort to reduce him to normalcy. They want to reduce him to the status of a common man, like Muhammad, or like Buddha, or like Gandhi. Good men, good people, good prophets, etc., by somebody's standards. We didn't say the Lord's standards. But they want to reduce Jesus to that same arena, that same persona. That way they can rationalize. They can rationalize and stay noncommittal. See? As long as Jesus is like everybody else, he ain't no different than anybody else. Right, so I ain't got to deal with that. I can approach him like I can approach everybody else. And that's what people do. So we can live our own lives, live life as we choose, go where we want, when we want to do it the way we want to do it, as we see fit, and worshiping false gods. Because when you worship false gods, you can do things like that. After all, they're not real. They're false. When you worship Allah, you can do things like that. When you worship Krishna, you can do things like that, all right? Or any of the host of false deities out there, or man-made idols and statues made with man's hands, as the Bible says. Even people such as Catholics who even claim to be Christians. Yet in many cases, they'll hail Mary before they hail Jesus. Somebody's thanking Jesus, I heard it. Pastor Annalisa. Bottom line, she loves the Lord. It's even on her ringtone. The bottom line is that in all these examples of misled people, like I said, they don't know Jesus. You can't know Jesus and try to put him in a normal man's category because Jesus is not a man. He came in the flesh of man. Let's get that straight right now. He's not a man. He came in the flesh of man to save man. Okay? Muhammad didn't do that. Okay? Krishna or all the Buddhas in the family didn't do that. Okay? There's only one that could do that. All right? So we need to get that straight. Jesus is and was God incarnate.
Amen. It is written in 1 Timothy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation comes through Christ alone. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Feel free to submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Our prayer warriors are here to pray for you. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. Will you prayerfully consider sowing a one-time seed or an ongoing monthly donation today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website, where giving is easy. Simply click on the Donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. And remember, God is with you and has already given you the victory over every challenge. Join us for live Sunday worship services on Facebook or Periscope at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. Don't forget to tune into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones next week to learn how God has equipped you to overcome every battle as He continues the teaching series on the battlefield. Until next time. God is-